Oh, that was lovely. That was the beautiful South. Yeah, a bit of a blast back to the 80s. You know what I'm like. Right now, we have our guest on the line. We have Amanda Hart, who's an intuitive consultant, an author. She's been on Channel 5 on the TV. She's also a columnist for Soul and Spirit magazine. And she does a lot of coaching with people as well. She's going to tell us all about her work. Welcome, Amanda, to the Spiritual Calling Show.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much for inviting me, Elizabeth.
Oh, it's lovely. It's lovely to connect with you today. We've been looking forward to having you on the show, and I know you're a very, very busy lady indeed. And one of the ways that I kind of met up with you online was because you were showing some pictures about a magazine article where you had featured the book The Guys Upstairs.
Yes, that was in the Spirit and Destiny magazine. I think that was this month, wasn't it?
Absolutely, and I just found that absolutely fascinating, and I thought this would be perfect to share
Oh.
with our listeners. So could you tell us a little bit about what that was?
Yes, well, so I wrote a book which was a memoir about my life from the age of three, and it was published in 2015, and it had a huge impact. It actually coincided at the time with the change in the well, the with the an act which was including the coercive control element, and so basically domestic violence was something that was really talked about. It was a really newsworthy. It was really newsworthy at the time, so therefore the book got a lot of attention. What they didn't understand was, how I'd actually got into this field. And but they, the press, the media, and reviewers and readers were fascinated with the story behind it. And so the book starts when I'm 3 years old, and I was taken from a very safe, loving environment with my mother and her family to go and live with my father and his family. And that house became known as the House of Hell. And as you may be aware, because it's now at the forefront of our conversation in the media, we didn't really talk about things in those days. Everything was hidden behind closed doors. So I was alienated, really. I didn't know how to protect myself, being 3 years old. And I started to have these dreams pretty much from when I moved in. And these dreams were were where these angels, these beings would come to me in my sleep, and we'd go off and fly every night. And it was escapism. It was helping my imagination. It was fun. But eventually they started coming to me during the day when I started getting into really serious trouble, in the house. And I assumed, being a 3-year-old, that they must have lived in my father's attic, because I couldn't understand where they came from. I just assumed that they were above me because they would always fly with me. So I assumed they lived in the attic, hence why I called them the guys upstairs. So the book really is about my story of how I built this relationship up with them from a very young age. Interacted with them throughout my entire childhood, and then shut them down when I was a young adult, because I realized that other people didn't communicate with angels. It wasn't the norm, and I felt rather ridiculous because I started getting sort of picked on and bullied for having this, what people couldn't understand was this, my invisible friends.
I
So it
think
was
a
only
lot of
when I
people have
started.
a similar scenario from what you've said in the fact of when you become a young adult, that's when you shut things down. So many mediums and psychics and animal communicators, do report the same because it's that awareness that other people aren't going through a similar thing. And then you push it to one side. And I think that time in your life as well is a time where you're searching for acceptance from your peers. You know, it's a it's a challenging time, isn't it? So sounds like you pushed it to one side, and obviously later on it's come back to you.
Yes, I think it was in a desperate situation. I reached out for them, hoping that they hadn't sort of abandoned me. But it was during that process of rekindling that relationship that I realized that they'd never abandoned me. They'd been trying to communicate with me for a long time, but I just had been such a dark place that I couldn't hear or communicate with them. So I realized that actually they were invaluable to me, and that, you know, my childhood hadn't been for nothing, and that they were going to get me through that very difficult time, because I was, you know, I was absolutely desperate. So I did anything to understand and learn how to develop that relationship with them, and I never looked back. It just kept getting, you know, going from there. And that's eventually when I realized that actually there was a purpose to my my life, and that and they shared it with me in 2004. So the book does actually go into detail of when they decided they were going to reveal to me my mission and what I was here for, and the terrible argument that ensued, because I was rebelling and saying, actually, I haven't got the time, energy, or the will to do this, and tried to shun it. But as you know, a lot of us are called to service, and, you know, we are what we are, and our purpose is our purpose, and there's no running away from it. So eventually I stopped the fight and gave into it.
Yeah, I think you use the perfect word there, which is we're called to service. And that's what it is. It's serving spirit. And I think no matter how hard you push it away, it will always come back to you. Especially when you are in need, or other people require your services in order to help them. Because it sounds as though with everything that you've been through, you've turned that around, and you've created, for want of a better expression, a set of tools that is really helpful to other people when they're going through some of the most challenging times in their life.
Yes. And really, you know, it wasn't through, you know, I just assumed, all right, you know, because I'm a logical person, I've got to do workshops, I've got to read lots of books, and I did that. But the real learning actually came in the synchronistic moments, and you obviously know this, you know, it's those moments when you realize actually something outside of yourself is happening, and there's no control over it, and you're getting answers which you can't possibly have created for yourself. It's just there. And so the learning process was quite bizarre. Some of it was on live television. It was, you know, while I was being recorded, that was my dog wagging his tail, if you can hear him. So yes, it was quite a process of, you know, just trust, really, of learning how they wanted me to communicate, and how I was going to then go on to teach others to communicate as well. So that's what I do. I help people to understand about the initial process of forming that relationship with our angels. And this is what I'm currently doing at the moment. I've just written the first book in a series of books on angels of light, to teach people who are just getting aware of their angels, or want to develop their relationship with them deeper. And it's, you know, very practical tools, because life is complicated enough as it is. So, you know, these are really simple tools that I've been taught, and I've passed on to readers.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I'm sure a lot of our listeners will be very interested in getting that and looking at that information, because, like you say, life just becomes so hectic, so stressful, so busy for people. It sounds as though that is going to really help them. Tell us a little bit about when you were on Channel 5 Psychic Challenge.
That was quite an interesting process. That was back in 2005, 2006. I, you know, it was ridiculous, really, because I was nominated to go on television. At the time, I had this huge fear of public speaking. I was a very private person, even though I'd, you know, I'd been in the papers and done a few local interviews. It was very, very sort of low scale. So people knew me very much in my area, but to go on national television was a really big deal. But, you know, the guys upstairs were saying, no, this is necessary because you're going to show that we all have this ability, which confused me because the program was a competition to see who was the best psychic in Britain. But I went along, listened to them, and the process was just bizarre. I was, I got through all the audition processes, and I got onto the pilot show, and I got through the pilot show and was chosen for the final. And I had no formal training whatsoever, but the people that I was on the final with were all media, you know, platform mediums. They were touring. They, you know, they had people knew them. They were in magazines on a regular basis. You know, they had a real following. And I just felt I was the novice. So it really did challenge me to be there, not just from that being that in that physical presence, but also because my mind couldn't really equate to the purpose and what the guys upstairs were trying to achieve. And really what it was down to was trust and also being put into pressured situations, especially fearful situations, and still being able to communicate with them. And that's how I can teach this now, because that's what had happened before. When I'd shut them down, I was in fearful situations. So they were doing a bit of a sort of a swift lesson in learning how to still communicate even when you're in fearful situations, which is what we need most of the time. So I had to do lots of different challenges.
Yeah, sorry? I think I saw that program. Was that with Tony Stockwell?
It was with with Trisha Goddard. Trisha Goddard was hosting it. They had three famous skeptics. One of them was Chris French, who's they're all very well known skeptics.
Yes, and I know who Chris French is. I think he appears on the TV every now and again. He seems to pop up, and I think he's one of those skeptics that no matter what you did, you would never convince him, you know. And I did meet Trisha Goddard, funnily enough, a few years ago, because she did a Trisha animal special, and I was the pet psychic on that. And I think she was quite open-minded to a degree. Yes. To a degree, yes. I would have said. That's very interesting. So it just seems that you have done such a lot, and your experience goes over a huge range of subjects, really, because I know you've also done your own radio show and some presenting as well.
Yes, well, I was, shortly after that, I was invited to have my own radio show. So that was the Soul Searching show, and it was fantastic. I was interviewing, you know, people in the mind, body, spirit field, you know, authors and people who were very well known for what they were doing. So it was a huge privilege. I was able to glean all this lovely information from amazing people, and I got to read these incredible books as well. So that was fantastic. I did that for some time, and then I was invited to write for Soul and Spirit magazine as a columnist. And even during that time, even though I was writing all this material, the one thing I was actually denying myself of was that my childhood dream, when I was a child, I wanted to write, and my father had said to me, "Oh, don't be so silly. You can't write. You can't earn money writing silly stories." So I'd shut that dream down, but I was starting to naturally write through my work. And eventually that's when I got to be asked to write my memoir. So I guess it was kind of a progressive sort of introduction to me. So I would start quietly writing and eventually, you know, be invited to become an author. And, you know, as I say today, I'm incredibly lucky because I'm writing this three book series for Orion Publishing, who are, you know, part of the third largest publishing house in the world. So I feel very, very privileged to be where I am. It hasn't been an easy path by any means, because as you know, we do have to go through challenge, but I've really listened and paid attention. And when we do listen, pay attention, and we take right action, then, you know, that our angels always deliver.
They certainly do. And even the writing process is considerably challenging within itself. And we have a lot of people that listen in that are trying to start writing, or we've had a couple of guests on previous shows who've written books, and sometimes it can just be getting it started, you know.
Yes.
And have you got any information that you could share to get people kick-started? Because so many people have that dream that you explained, where they'd love to have a book in print, they'd love to get things out and have a book, but they get stuck and procrastinate and put it off and put it off and put it off. And sometimes I think if you just get going, that is the key for the rest of it. Absolutely. To carry on.
Yeah, funny enough, I've just written a blog post, which I'm going to be posting over the next 2 days, which is actually helping people to live their purpose. So it leads people, you know, to identify what the purpose is. But I do get approached by a lot of people who want to write in particular. So I help people remove negative programming, and a lot of that is from their childhood. Much of it is helping people to find their purpose. So when we get rid of the blockages that we have that have stopped us from honoring our authentic self, we then tend to find our purpose, what we're here for, our passion, what we're here to do, to serve. So actually the writing aspect is quite interesting, because I've now realized that I've got so many people who do approach me about this, that actually there's a lot about communication and how we're now processing it. People are more keen to communicate from storytelling than ever before, and I think that's because from one point of view, we're getting very we're progressing so radically with social media technology that we need this. We need to still keep storytelling our mainstay, because otherwise, if we lose this, we've lost humanity. So yeah, I wholeheartedly advocate, pushing to write if that's your yearning, and also if there are blockages, then to overcome them, because writers are very we're very sensitive. It's, you know, we're empaths, and it's the only way we can actually get it out there. But also, it can be the downside, because it stops us from doing what we wanted to achieve, because we feel we have to protect ourselves. So as I say, I've put this, I'm putting this blog out, and it will be on my website in a couple of days' time. And there is this free test that you can take to see, if you actually have blockages, or if you're just procrastinating, and it's how to identify. But what I would say, and I think the most useful information I ever got, was when I spoke to Jane Bidder, who was is a best-selling author. She writes under lots of pseudonyms. She was originally a very well-known journalist, Fleet Street journalist, and she invited me to actually go and give a talk in an open and closed prison. And you know, she gave me some invaluable advice, which was just write down the bones of it. Because when we get involved in what we're writing, we start judging it, and we're judging how other people will perceive that. So I think really it's down to, you know, just writing the bones of it with no thought about who's going to read it, who's going to judge it, you know, how it's going to be perceived, whether there's punctuation in it or wrong grammar or whatever. Just write it down, and eventually when you get back to it, then you can start brainstorming and pulling it to pieces. But you've got to write the bones of it first, because if you don't, then you're not writing from your heart. So that's really the only way you can write. You've got to do it from your heart. You can't plan it. You can't sit down and execute it like you're putting together a report. It's got to come from the heart. And whenever you get the urge, just sit down and do it. But as I say, I've written this blog, so that would actually help people to identify whether this is something they really want or they think they want. And that's really important, because writing does sincerely come from the heart.
And that's why it's important, really, to write about something that you're very passionate about, that you absolutely love, or an experience that you've been through. And I think you hit upon a number of things that do hold people back. And I think one of those is being judged about what you've written. And that was perfect advice to just get to the bones of it and just get it out on paper, or even maybe using a dictaphone or something just to get your thoughts out there can be far more productive than just sitting there trying to worry about how you've got it in order or if your punctuation or spelling is right. And those things can be sorted out at a later date. So do you feel, Amanda, that this is where your passion lies at the moment? Because as you talk about your books and your writing and what you do come over as if you're really enjoying it and you're getting a lot out of that process.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when the guys upstairs told me that I was going to write a book, and that was back in 2004, at the time, I'd literally just, my husband had left the family home that day, and I had no idea how I was going to support myself and my young children. I had no ambition whatsoever to do anything. I was, you know, working for my husband. I had no idea what on earth I was going to do, let alone have any ambition or motivation or passion for anything. So when I was told very distinctly on the 16th of May in 2004 that I would be writing this book, I thought it was laughable, especially because this book was going to have such an impact. It wasn't until 2010 that I actually started writing it, not because I wanted to. I'd been asked 3 years prior to that to write the book, and I said absolutely, you know, categorically no. There was no way I was going to write a book. I had no ambition to actually expose myself as, you know, I was very, very introverted still. I still like to keep very private. So eventually, when I did start to write, it was purely because I'd been stuck in a corner. I just had head surgery. I couldn't work anymore. And I thought, right, that's it. All I've got is, you know, I've got my head bandaged up. I was in quite a serious unit in the Royal Free Hospital. All I had was a pen and paper next to me, and journal. So I decided that that's it. It just, you know, I'd made the decision as soon as I did, it just started pouring out of me. And that's when it was like a dam bursting. It was all this passion from my childhood came pouring back. I used to write a lot of poetry and funny stories to amuse relatives and friends. And I started writing poetry and short stories, and had the nurses in tears, and had them, you know, rolling up in laughter, because I was, you know, just by writing silly, you know, anecdotes. So I kind of suddenly thought, what's happened? You know, it was almost like I'd had surgery and I'd had a bit of a personality bypass. So all of a sudden, there was this kind of autistic thing coming through me, which was this absolute need, this desire, this burning yearning to write. And it hasn't left me. And I cannot function if I don't write every day. So when the guys upstairs was actually read by Amanda Harris at Orion Publishing, she said, she contacted me 4 days later. She had read the book. It was just pure coincidence. She'd actually managed to get hold of a copy. And she said, oh my gosh, we've been waiting for 2 years to find this woman who's going to write this Angel series. Please, would you write for us? And I had just again come out of another serious operation. I just had my kidney removed, and I burst into tears because it was like a dream. You know, when you have that moment when you think, oh my gosh, this is my absolute dream, and it actually happened, and I had just come through a very dark time. I'd had a lot of surgery over the last few years, and this, you know, this is what keeps me going. This is what keeps me you know, my spark alive and my energy out there, and me keep building my network to raise awareness. And now I'm able to reach a global audience with my message. So the guys upstairs were absolutely on point when they told me back in 2004 this is what I was going to be doing. But I had no idea it would be this big.
That's incredible. It sounds as though this is not only healing you, but healing so many people. And you're using your experiences, which people can identify with, where some of those things that have gone on have been traumatic, indeed, where people are going to look at that and read that and think, do you know what? This lady really understands. She really gets me. She's really empathetic with what's going on for me at the moment. And I really believe your books are going to be truly successful. I really do. You know, psychically, I say it from a psychic perspective. That's what I pick up around that. So you've got a really nice, easy to use website where people can go onto that and see what you're doing and how you can work with them. So if somebody was thinking about coming to you because they got a problem or an issue, how would you be able to assist them? What would a client of yours, I mean, obviously everybody's different and everybody's circumstances are different, but what are you offering? What are you offering people?
Yeah, so I have quite a vast array of people that come to see me. Most people have blockages at some level. So they'll come to me with the current situation, and it tends to then manifest that we find the root cause in their childhood. So I help people remove these negative programs, and I tend to be the last port of call. People have perhaps tried orthodox means, holistic means. We go but down to the programming level, which is in theta, you know, in deep, you know, in a meditative state, but we don't have to do that because I do it through the subconscious. So I can now see clients worldwide. So I do it through Skype or Zoom or even FaceTime. You know, I do need face-to-face contact with clients. I do need to have that energy contact. So I offer a 20-minute free consultation. So anyone can contact me via my website, make an appointment, and we can chat anytime to find out, you know, if we can work together. We usually do. People tend to know, you know, in advance in their subconscious that it's the right thing. And then if they want to go ahead and to remove blocks, we work over a 6-week period of 3 sessions to remove that. And everybody goes through the same process, regardless of how dire their situation is or how difficult. And they come through it the other side, and I have a 97% success rate, not because I'm brilliant at what I'm doing. It's just that the people are ready when they come to see me. And these are quite extreme situations sometimes. Sometimes it's just to remove blockages, and other times it's stuff that they don't even realize is going on for them. But they got a sort of an inkling or this one thing that they think is wrong, and then it uncovers other stuff. So you know, as I say, I love working with clients on one-to-one. I'm just about to put on my workshops and doing an online course as well, but which will all be working in conjunction with my books as well. But I still love the one-to-one work because that I see the joy of seeing people go through incredible transformation. And I still am in touch with clients 20 years down the line who are still continuing to amaze me with their progress and how their life is transforming. So, you know, it's an ongoing process, as you know, but, you know, initially to remove those blocks from people and to help them to find their purpose, find their power and their voice, that's, you know, that's incredibly inspiring for me.
Yes, and when I look at some of the work that you've done, I mean, you do talk about empowering people and also empowering victims of abuse. That must be quite difficult.
Yes, because I mean, I understand this from a personal perspective, because I was a victim of child abuse and domestic violence to a very to quite a degree that was, you know, beyond violence. It was just ridiculous. And I can only say that it was because of my angels that I survived through my childhood and through the many dire situations I went through as an adult. Domestic violence is, and we've now learned now, unfortunately, we're educating ourselves, or rather the system is educating us, to realise that actually domestic violence occurs with strong women. There was this misconception that women were weak, men were strong, they were overpowered by them. That is absolutely rubbish. And I've always advocated that. It is strong women. And it is, and men as well. Men can have, be abused as well, as we know. But it tends to be that the person abusing is the weaker and is taking the power of the the victim. I don't like to use the word victim, but we call it psychic attack as well. Whatever it is, once that person finds their power, the they are no longer a victim. They become a survivor, and they find their power and voice, and it's incredibly cathartic for them, and they find what they're here for, and it's overwhelming sometimes for these people. So yes, it can be traumatic. However, it is a short process to go through to actually come out the other side, to see there is light, and that's the most important thing.
I think from what you've talked about, I know it can affect men as well as women, but when you're so disempowered within that situation, it can be so difficult to know that you need to get away from that person, or you need to come out of that situation. And yes, many times you're being controlled or you're being manipulated, and yes, You can't always see it. I mean, I know people personally who, like you say, some of the strongest women that you would never imagine that this could possibly happen to them. It seems as though the predator, if you like, goes yep. for that type of person in the first place to completely disempower them. And yep. I found that no matter what I said or tried to help this person for quite some time, they could not recognize what was going on for them, and they weren't prepared to take any action. And do you No. believe that people get to a light bulb moment where all of a sudden it becomes clear, or there's an activating event that helps them to realise the circumstances that they've found themselves in?
Right, so there's two points. Firstly, the common denominator I found with myself and people that come to me who have been victims of domestic violence have at some stage been abused when they were younger. Sometimes it's not as apparent as they think. And that's why it's good for us to go into the programming. And for some reason, they've attracted that later on. So we go back to that. Once we pull the root cause away, then that stops that. And that stops the repeated cycle of deprivation, keep going into different relationships with domestic violence, because that can happen. There's a repeated situation. For me, specifically, I went from one violator to another, and they got worse and worse until eventually I realized I had to take control of it. It wasn't me and my will that was not getting me out of it. It was my negative program. I had attracted it subconsciously. I had to remove that subconscious program, and that's when it all changed. So that's the first thing. The other thing is, I had lots of people saying to me, "Can you not see what's going on?" And I've heard other people saying that, kind relatives, loving people who love those people who are going through that horrible situation, trying to get them to see reason. They cannot see it again, because the program does not allow them to detach until the program is released. So it's very, very difficult. We all have eyes. We all see the world through our own eyes, but we all see the world in a very different way, and it is all based on our past experience and our programming. And that's exactly what happens in any negative experience, whether it be domestic violence or, you know, if you're, you know, if you go through anything else, you know, that's horrific. It is all down to looking deep inside and looking and seeing, well, what is it that I am being shown here? And once we start to address it on a deeper level, that actually is a really empowering point of or turning point for many people. And you'll find that a lot of people, I went to a talk last night, and this woman has written this amazing book, which is all stories from women around the world who have empowered themselves after abuse. And it's, you know, it's making a lot of difference. It's raising awareness. But this is what happens. You know, sometimes it is about being a voice or being heard or showing strength. And that then has a ripple effect and inspires others. But for whatever reason, whenever you come out of it, there is always the positive. It's the polar opposite as to what you had in the past once it's removed.
And I think people then go on to do great things. You know, recently we had a lady on the show who went through a horrific attack and domestic violence. She's written books about it, but she's gone on to have a very successful marriage now. She's a mentor for others, you know, and I think it can really put you in a position of great understanding and what you need to present to people or how you work with people because you've been through such an ordeal. You then end up with these amazing tools, and most psychics, mediums, or anybody who works in this industry, 9 times out of 10, they've been through some very, very difficult experience in their life.
Yes, and I really truly believe, I understand this now, because we're going through a different paradigm now. You know, long gone are the, you know, us listening to authority, and, you know, and authority sometimes abused us as well. And long gone are the days where we respect our elders, but, you know, we could get a good hiding if we got home and or said the wrong thing. So there's a very different feel about how we progress now as human beings, how we're evolving. And that's all about having empathy and expertise from experience. So I say we're experiencers. And because of that, we understand at that real raw level of certainty. Whereas when I was going to these conferences and speaking in front of people who were, you know, in the judiciary, in the health sector, in the police, they're all fighting each other. You know, this is the irony. You know, it's all about domestic violence and how to empower victims. But actually, you know, there was bullying, there was, you know, there was incredible attempts to control. And it was just ironic, considering the whole, you know, premise of this, these discussions, was to move away from coercive control. So that's the old paradigm. That's the old competitive, you know, I've got to say my piece, or I know that I can serve you best, because people get frightened when they feel that they're losing control. And that's understandable. But there's something about people who work with spirit, who work with an understanding from a deep connected level to consciousness of what the human spirit needs to help heal. And that's really important. And so that's why I'm quite controversial. I will stand up and say that there are a lot of charlatans out there, but there are also incredible people out there doing some amazing work. And the problem is that the system is not really governed or audited in any way, and there's been so much skepticism, so it makes it very difficult to glean, you know, what is right and what's wrong. I always say to people, go with your heart. If you attract somebody for a reason, there's, you know, look deep and be discerning. Is it, are they going to help you, or are you learning a lesson? Either way, you're going to come out of it okay anyway, because you come out and learn your lesson if you've been, you know, duped, or you learn your lesson because they've helped you. So if you have an attitude of, I'm always going to be okay, I'm always going to be looked after, listen to my heart, connect with spirit, then you will be fine.
That's an interesting concept and a different way of looking at things entirely. And I say to people, always, you know, go with somebody who has been recommended to you. But yeah, yes. Learning a lesson, even if you've been, like you say, been duped, is certainly giving you more tools in your toolbox, you know, because that's probably not going to happen to you. Again, you come over as a very strong, a very courageous lady. Do you feel that way now?
It's really bizarre. It's funny because I just had a flash of memory, and I remember a policeman coming to my home, and this was only in 2012. That was the last domestic violence situation I was in. And I remember him sitting at my kitchen table, and he said, "Can you tell me, do you think you're strong?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I don't think you are." And when he said that, that really made me think. And I thought, do you know what? You've just put me into a little box. You put me into a little category, because it was his way of understanding about domestic violence. And at that time, I thought, well, perhaps that's what I'm giving off. Perhaps I'm giving this message off. And I knew that this there was an inner message that was not part of me that had to move so that I could eventually let my power come through. And that was the last of it. I let it go. I started to work on the book more so, and you know, it's gone from strength to strength. But yes, it's taken some time for me to find my power, and it's still increasing. You know, when we do find our power, the momentum keeps gathering. The more we discern what we're supposed to be here for, and the more we trust. And you know, yes, we do come across situations that are challenging. But knowing that you have that power, knowing that you have that resource with consciousness, with spirit, you will never, ever be without you know, their help. You've always got help on your side. It's like having an army behind you.
It is. And I also believe, I don't know if you think the same, that synchronicity does have a hand in it. Who you meet at a certain point in your life, or where you are, you know. And I think that we can look out for signs, and I do believe the signs are there. I believe that spirit sends signs all of the time. As long as we're observant and we take notice, more signs come. But also that it can be orchestrated, you know, with these synchronistic meetings. And you know, it just never fails to amaze me how that happens. Do you feel that that's played a part in where you're at now?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's part of what I teach. And I have, we have an Empowering Women Facebook group. And on a Wednesday, I put a post out there, which is hashtag lightbulb moments. And I encourage women to talk about their synchronistic stories, or the you know, the flash of inspiration, or that momentous meeting that's changed their lives. And this happens all the time. People think that these are miracles, but they're not. When people are in alignment, this is how I explain it, when you're on your path, everything comes to you rather than you going to it. So it's so effortless. So therefore, as long as you keep working on yourself, you're true and authentic, you remove yourself from certain things like judgment and hatred and all those negative emotions. When you really work on yourself, then you really are in alignment, and that means you have more and more of these synchronistic moments, more of this magic that comes into your life. So it really is that you can't cheat the system, you can't cheat yourself. You have to work on yourself, because you're the only one that can judge whether you're actually on track or not.
I know you do speaking and empower people in that way. Have you got any events or anything lined up in the next few months, Amanda?
Yeah, well, I've just been invited to take part in the monthly radio show. It's for UK Health Radio. So that's, I'm now regularly speaking on that. So I've started this month. I've just been invited by a couple of television shows to do interviews. So I'm speaking on different platforms depending on where I'm called. And you know, every week, even though The Guys Upstairs isn't actually, you can buy it from me, because I do have copies myself, so you can get hold of a copy through me, because we pulled it off Amazon as soon as we knew it was going to have such an effect. And I'm republishing it with the second book, the as a two book series. But it's still, I still get interviewed for this 3 years on. I'm going to another interview for a TV platform on Saturday. So, you know, it's, but the speaking gigs that will be for the books in particular will be starting next year when the Angel of Light book comes out. That's the first in the series, and that'll be late spring. So there'll be a lot of talking events that I'll be involved in, and I'm going to be doing some large workshops as well, so people can come and do, you know, experience the whole transformational process that they can go through, you know, remove, you know, taking power, getting their, getting the tools and the insight into how they can keep into real alignment and just you know, communicate and deepen that relationship with their angels.
You've given us absolutely plenty of food for thought there. You really, really have. Tell everybody how they can connect with you. Is it better to link to your Facebook pages or groups or contact you via your website, for instance?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. If people want to talk about their stuff and share, I'm always looking for, it's, we've got a platform for inspiring women who are empower other people. So if they want to look for our, it's called Empowering Women Group. And that's because when we're empowered, we empower others. So that's on Facebook. They can connect through that and they can share what they do, because I feel that we've got to, you know, work collaboratively. But if they want to work with me one-to-one, or they want to share something with me personally, then they can get in touch with me through my website, which is amanda-hart.co.uk.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Amanda. You have been a brilliant guest. Really, really enjoyed that interview. I know I've had a few messages come through as you've been chatting away there. Certainly we've had some great feedback. I know a couple of people have said they're going to go and have a look at your website and your Facebook pages, so you're probably going to get a few new additions to that in the next couple of days. And we'd love to have you back on the Spiritual Calling Show here on Pulse Talk Radio another time, if you would be able to join us. That would be brilliant.
Oh, I'd love to. That'd be great, especially when the new book comes out next year. But I'm always doing, you know, stuff all the time. So, yes, yeah, but just keep in touch, and I'd love to keep you up to date with everything.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you very much indeed. Right, we're going to go now have a little bit of music, and then we're going to come back and do some readings for you.
The Spiritual Calling Show with Psychic Beth. Tune in for psychic readings, guest interviews, and all things spiritual. Get in touch and be part of the show.
Street, staring at the sky, dragging my two feet.